Okay, before we start today, I just wanted to mention, I think it would be nice if we dedicated our learning this week in memory of the three boys, Gilad, Naftali, and Ayal. I was watching the funeral yesterday, and I was thinking when Dov Zinger was speaking about the koach of tefillah, and it very much reminded me of, you know, it made me think about what we're learning, the tefillah and the hamonim coming together and the whole timing of it, you know, for what we're learning, it very much rang close to home, this idea of the koach of the tefillot of the many, and then all these discussions about, you know, we've been praying for 3 weeks, and yet it was almost, right, it almost looks like a tefillah shav, because obviously we didn't know, but, you know, and then there were some people who were addressing that issue, I don't know if you saw, but it's not a tefillah shav because it was mechazek et ha'am, and that there's values to tefillah not necessarily related directly to whether your bakasha is answered or not.
It, but there's a reason to do it.
Right, and that there's a value to it in any case. Okay, I'll leave it at that, but there's obviously a lot to think about there. And okay. So what we were talking about was the issue of Rav Huna. We had this discussion. They said that remember we had that, it all started with these shaky walls. And we had, Rav Ad Bar Ava had this special schut, and Rav Huna brought him into his house so that he could get all the wine bottles out, and then Rav Ad Bar Ava got upset. And then they tried to say what made Rav Ad Bar Ava special, that he had these schuyot. Then they wanted to say, well, by the way, don't forget about Rav Huna, he also had some special schuyot. And we talked about him buying up all the food, and we had some issues with it. How could he buy up all the food and throw it in the river? But the issue was he was trying to save, let's say, the issue of Fod Shabbat, that there should always be food in the marketplace for people to buy for Shabbat. Now we're going to have some other things about Rav Huna. If you didn't like that one 100%, there'll be some other things about him that are his
schuyot.
Also what?
The walls, wasn't he?
What about the walls?
He would knock down the walls.
He would knock down the walls, right, which is also a little bit strange. Right? It's true people might have money, but they might not necessarily want to spend the money on it.
Well, there's also this thing with him and walls.
Right, because, exactly, Yafet, because he was sitting next to the wall, and he was worried about the walls falling down on him, and then also he clearly was worried about walls falling down. In other words, he had this, right, you think about it, he was concerned about his own wall falling down on him, or whether it was his house or someone else's, but where his step was. And then also he was worried about others and their walls falling down. It reminds me of that whole wedding hall collapse. Ulamei Versailles, and the walls falling down, and that people should be careful to make sure that, right, avoid situations like that. Okay, so even though it sounds a little strange, he would then make people pay for it, on the other hand, it saved a lot of headache and, you know, hassle later. Then they get sued by people who claim your wall hit me and hurt me, and et cetera. Okay. Now we're going to see some other things about him. We're 5 lines from the bottom of Kaf Amud Bet. Ki havale milta da suta. When he had some asuta is, right, the hospital, asuta, it's rifuah. Okay, he had some medicines. Havamale kuza demaya. He would fill up a bakbuk, you know, outside his house. V'tale la b'sefa debete. He would hang it up on the entrance of his house. V'amar kol debaya leite v'lishka. Whoever needs should come and take. Okay, it was a way of, you know, you put it outside his house. V'ika da'amre, some people said, milta de'shivta havagamir. He knew what to do about this shade called the shivta shade. Okay, it was a shade that would come if you didn't wash your hands properly. He would put a thing of water outside, and there was this understanding that if you use this water, then that would take away the shade of the shivta. Okay, and anyone who wants, so clearly he hung this thing outside his house that people didn't know. Was it for rifuah? Was it for the mazik? What was in it? Okay. Ki hava karech rifta, and the last thing he did when he would eat, have a patach levave, v'amar koma ditzarech leite v'lechal. He would say, anybody wants to come, they should come and eat, right? Sounds like from Halach Ma'anya, right? The same Lashon, because it's Aramaic, and that's what they're saying. So now, Rava says, Amar Rava, okay, this is, if you recall, I don't know if you remember, go back, Amar le Rava le Rafarim bar Papa, lema le Amar, and Rava said to Rafarim bar Papa, tell me something good about Rav Huna. So Rav Bar Papa tells him all these things, and Rava answers back, Kula mitzina makayimana, all of these I can see myself doing, levar meha de lo mitzina lemeavad, except for one, the last one. I can't see myself doing that. Why? Mishum dinafishe b'nei chayla de mechoza, because there's a lot of chayalim in mechoza, and if I open my doors to anybody, they're going to devour all my food and I'll have nothing left. Okay. If you look in Rashi, by the way, he has a different nusa. It says, Mishum dinafishe b'nei mechoza. It says, there's a lot of people in mechoza, not chayalim. Chayalim also has the connotation of non-Jews, possibly. Here he's saying there's a lot of aniim, Rashi says. In other words, it's not the fact that there's chayalim that are going to devour all my food. It's that there's a lot of poverty here. And if I were to do it in my city, I basically have no food left. In other words, it's one thing to do it in a place where, you know, a few people will come in. Right? Like when we say everyone should come and eat in our Seder, right, we're not expecting hundreds of people to come in. So maybe it would be nice if they did. Okay. Now we're going to get a good story about a wall again. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan have a garsi ba'orait. This is a great story. Okay, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were learning Torah. They were both real, you know, scholars of Torah, and they were learning Torah. Dechika lehu milta tuva. Things got pretty bad for them in terms of money. They had no money. They were very, very poor. Amre, they said to each other, okay, now, I read Yonah Frankel writes a lot of articles about stories. He has books about it also. I have a book of his where he relates to the story, and he says, if you notice here, Ilfa is the first guy. So it could be that he was the initiator, he claims, but we'll see. Amre, so they said, Nekum v'nezo v'navid iska. Let's go do some business. V'nekayim v'nashin. And we'll be mikayim in ourselves, the pasuk, epes kilo yebacha evyon. Okay, that we should never have evyonim, right? The pasuk says there shouldn't be evyonim. So we're going to make sure, we're going to do this pasuk, right? So usually we understand that pasuk, it means you should take care of the aniyim. Here they're saying, let's take care of ourselves, right? A very noble thing to do. What's the issue, though? They're leaving the Beit Midrash to go do parnasah. Asle otve tute guda ri'ya. They went and they sat next to a wall that was falling apart. Havu kakarchi rifta. They were sitting there eating. Okay, what do you notice in the story?
Where'd they get the food?
Where'd they get the food? If they were so poor, so what do you see from here? It wasn't that they were so poor that they didn't have any food, right? It was, if it was, they were so poor they didn't have any food, so clearly that would be their appropriate choice. But here, it's misupak, right? They have some food. It's not like it's terrible. On the other hand, right, they obviously were poor that they needed to do it. Atu tre malachei asharet. Two malachim come by next to them in the wall. Shame Rabbi Yochanan, de amar chad l'chavre. Rabbi Yochanan now hears the malachim talking to each other. Okay, you walked in perfect time in the middle of the angels talking in the story. The angels hear them talking to each other. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yochanan hears the angels talking to each other. De'amar chad l'chavre, nishte alayu hai guda v'nachtalinu. Let's throw this wall on him, on them, and kill them. Sheminichim chaye olam haba v'oskim b'chaye sha'a. Then what are these guys doing? They're leaving the chaye ha'olam haba, and they're dealing with chaye sha'a. And they're basically, let me just review so that Debbie knows what's going on. These Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa are leaving the Beit Midrash because they said we don't have enough money, we have to go get jobs. So they go to get jobs, and they go out to get jobs. On the way, they sit down to eat. They sit next to this kotel that's about to fall apart. What do you see here? That the malachim are taking advantage of the fact that they're next to a wall and it could almost be like a natural death. In other words, what do you see here? That if you put yourself in a matzav sakana, the protection on you is less, right? It's easier to kill someone when they're in a matzav sakana. Okay, and they say, they're leaving, one of them says, they're leaving olam haba and they're oskim b'chayesha. What did you want to say now?
Yeah, but what is, why is there such an emphasis on leaving, okay, you call it leaving chaye olam haba for chaye sha'a, but it's not.
I didn't say that, malach, yeah.
Oh, okay. But why is there such an emphasis on the negativity of leaving Beit HaMidrash? I mean,
right.
So supposed to earn living.
So. Okay, so we're going to talk about this when we get to the end of the story. Let's see how the story ends, and then we'll discuss. Amar le idach. Now the other guy says, Shavkinhu, leave them alone. Don't kill them. Di'ika b'huchad. Among them, there's one of them. De'kaim alashata. that his time has come. In other words, he is going to be great, basically. One of these guys is right way to be great. Who do you think it is? Rabbi Yochanan, because you know about Rabbi Yochanan, you don't really know about Ilfa. Okay, but we'll see. The Ilfa was no, you know.
Slept.
Right. Okay, so now what happens? Rabbi Yochanan Shama, Ilfa lo Shama. Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation of the angels, but Ilfa didn't hear. It reminded me of those movies when there's a ghost and only one person sees the ghost, but nobody else sees them, right? So Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation, Ilfa didn't hear it. Right? You can almost imagine that what's going on here. It's not necessarily that there's two malachim, but it's Rabbi Yochanan's conscience. You know, maybe it's his inner self talking to himself. Ilfa doesn't have these concerns. He's not worried. He has no qualms about leaving the Beit Midrash. He says, I have to go work. That's what I have to do right now. I need to, you know, make a parnasa. Rabbi Yochanan is a little bit struggling with it, okay? Now, what happens? Rabbi Yochanan, Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Ilfa. Shama mar midi, did you hear anything? He says to Ilfa. Amar le lo, no, I didn't hear anything. Amar, he says to himself now, midi shame ana, the Ilfa lo shama, shma mina, what can I infer from here? Ledidi kaima li shata. It must be me who's the one who he was talking about, and they were talking about. If I'm the only one who heard this, it must be that it related to me. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, ihaja ba'oke benafshe, I'm going to go back to the Beit Midrash, and fulfill for myself the pasuk. What pasuk now? Ki lo yachdal av yom mikerev haaretz. Okay? These two pasukim, right? In the beginning, what they say, we're going to keep the pasuk, we're going to fulfill the pasuk. Efes ki lo yachdal yom, we're going to make sure there's no poor people. We're going to go take care of ourselves. But there's two pasukim in the Torah that contradict each other, right? One says, make sure there's no evyonim, and the other one says, there will always be poor people. How can there, on the one hand, always be poor people, and on the other hand, right, there shouldn't be any poor people? So many times, they resolve it by saying, one is the ideal, right? We should make sure, and we should do our best to make sure there's no aneim, but the fact is there will always be aneim, and we always have to make sure to take care of whoever's aneim. You could also say it's relative, right? In other words, if there's no real poor people to take care of, well, then take care of the poor people that are, you know, closer to poverty than other people. Anyway, what this story is playing off on the stira between those two psukim and saying, on the one hand, he's saying, you know what? There'll always be poor people. That'll be me. I need, my destiny is to learn Torah. What you see here, interestingly, by the way, that no one was taking care of them. Right? They weren't taken care of by the Kila. They were sitting learning, but nobody took care of them. They were struggling on their own. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yochanan hadar, Ilfa lo hadar. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan goes back to the Beit Midrash, and Ilfa doesn't go back to the Beit Midrash. Knowing there's hope, by the way, just at the end of the story for what you had to say. Ada ata Ilfa, malich. By the time Ilfa came back, I'm sorry, ada ata Ilfa, malich Rabbi Yochanan. By the time Ilfa came back from his business dealings and made himself some money, in that time, Rabbi Yochanan became king. What does it mean, king? He became the Rosh Yeshiva. Amrulo, they said to him, "I ativ mar v'garis lo hava malach." They say to Ilfa, when he comes back to the Beit Midrash, if you had sat and learned, he wouldn't have been the king. I'm sorry, lo hava malach mar, right? Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have been the king, but you would have been. In other words, they're trying to say, Ilfa, you were great and you wasted it. In other words, look what you could have done. Okay? Which again, if you see this as inner voices, it's all about, right? This Ilfa didn't have a conscience. He wasn't worried about it. And that's what lost him the Gdula. That's why also Frankel points out in the story that Ilfa started out. In other words, he was the one who initiated this idea of let's go out and do business. And Rabbi Yochanan kind of came along with him. But then when Rabbi Yochanan had second thoughts, I'm not sure this is really for me. Azal tala nafshe ba'askaria desfinata. He goes and he hangs himself, not hangs, like literally hangs, but he hangs off of the toren. What's the toren in translation?
The mast.
Thank you. The mast of the boat. Okay? He stands there by the mast of the boat. Okay? Now, obviously, the boat is representative of what? Of his business dealings, right? He stands on the mast of the boat and he says, Amar. He says, if there's someone who can ask me a question on a Mishnah of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shaya, okay, a Braita of Rabbi Chiya, and I can't answer him from a Mishnah, in other words, I can't tell him who said this and what the basis for this halacha is, I will fall from this mast and I will drown. And so he's trying to say, I can have it all. I was able to go do my business and hang on this Svina, right? And I still know Torah. That is, I didn't lose out by the fact that I didn't learn. Let's see if it's true or not. Atuahu Saba, Tanele. An old man comes along and he brings him a braita. Ha'omer tnu shekel lebanai b'shabbat. Tnu shekel lebanai b'shabbat. If somebody's on their deathbed and they say, you take this money and give my sons money, okay? But I want you to give them a shekel every week. Shabbat is not Shabbat, right? Obviously, he's not giving shekelim to his son on Shabbat. It means a week. Give money to my sons a shekel a week. V'hein ru'uyim latei lam sela. But they really need a sela to survive. A shekel is half a sela, okay? And a sela is not enough money. Notnim lahem sela. If he said, divide this up by week, give them a shekel a week, you can give them, if what they really need is a sela, you're allowed to give them a sela, and it's still within the framework of what this guy said, because what he really meant was, give them what they need. V'im amar, al titnu lahem ela shekel, but if he said, don't give them, right, only give them a shekel, and he was very specific, only, ein notnim lahem ela shekel. Then we really have to do what he said, and we only give them a shekel. Im amar, what if the guy said, meitu, right, give my kids a shekel every week, but if they die, yershu acherim tachtehem. Okay, then others should get the Yerusha from them. In other words, whoever are their yorshim, my grandchildren, let's say, will get it from them. Bein sha'amar tnu, bein sha'amar al titnu, ein notnim lahem ela shekel. In that case, it doesn't matter how he worded it. No matter what, he obviously didn't intend to give them more than what he said. Okay, because for his sons he was concerned about, but once it's past that and he just says the rest they should split up the Yerusha, then we stick by what he said literally, that it's only a shekel. Amarle, so now he answers him, Hamane, who is this? Rabbi Meir, he. This opinion accords with the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Damar mitzvah lekayem divrei hamet. Okay, what did he say? He says you have to do what the mate says. So if the mate said, Tnu lahem shekel, then you give them a shekel in the case of the yorshim, right? And only in the first case do you do otherwise. Now, what's the issue here? According to Torah law, what does it mean you have to listen to divrei hamet? If the mate says something that goes against what it says in the Torah, then you, like there's dinei yirusha in the Torah. And dinei yirusha in the Torah are not like this. Dinei yirusha in the Torah say that you give them, let me just remember, I think you give them whatever they need. That you don't give them a specific amount, you give them what their needs are. And here, if he says, right, only give them a shekel, then you can go against what the Torah says in giving them their needs, and you can give only what the maid says. And it shows that, according to Rabbi Meir, it's based on Rabbi Meir, mitzvah came to Ram Meir. So you see here two things about Ofa. Number one, he understood, right, he had bikius. It was at the tip of his tongue, who said this? And number two, he had thinking skills. He was able to connect the mitzvah lekayem divrei hamet to this halacha. So he had both talents of being knowing everything and being able to think about it, lavin davar mitoch davar, right, to infer. And what do you see? That he clearly was learning when he was out doing business, because you can't remember things on the tip of your tongue. And the fact that he said with such confidence, right, I'll jump in the water if you don't, right, and drown myself. He obviously knew that whatever they asked him, he was going to know. So what you see here at the end of the story is, right, again, there's a lot of messages you can take from the story, as in all these stories. But number one, you see that you can have it all. You can work and learn. Okay, that's the bottom line of the story. However, what's clear here is that it's all about, life is about making choices. And whatever choice you make, you're losing out on something else. Well, it's true, he did learn Torah, and he was able to work and learn Torah. What didn't he get? To be Rosh Yeshiva. Now, you can't have everything. You can learn and work, and you know, but if you want to be Rosh Yeshiva, that requires a Mesirut Nefesh, that, you know, you have to be Meniach Chaya Olam, and Osek B'Chaya, you know, Olam Hazeh, and Lasok B'Chaya Olam Haba. It's interesting also the Lashon of Chaye, right? You're Menichim Chaya Olam Haba, and you're Osekim B'Chaya Sha'ah, because they were really trying to survive, right? It's survival, and Chaye is those words. Anyway, it's an interesting story, and I think really, in the end, there's two bottom lines, as I would say. Number one is this issue of learning versus working, and can you do them both? And yes, maybe you could do them both, but you can't do them perfectly, right? You can't do everything, basically. You can't, right? Some people like to say we can have it all. And number two, right, again, it goes with that, that it's all about making choices. And choices, while they open certain avenues, they close up others. And here, Rabbi Yochanan ended up without the Parnassa, and Ilfa ended up without the Rosh Hashiva. Anyway, it's a good story. Okay, now we're going to hear some more stories. Oh, and by the way, it's just interesting that obviously what they're bringing is a story about someone who's not leaving his sons enough money to survive. Right? I don't know if you caught that. But the whole halacha that he brings is very pertinent to, right, do you have to leave them enough money for survival, even if you say you're not going to give them, right? It's about a parent who can't provide enough for his children, which is exactly what's going on here with Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. And maybe also it's like a message that Ilfa chose properly to provide for his children. Okay, where you go with that, I don't know, but it's interesting. Amor alav al Nachum Ish Gamzu. Okay, remember Nachum Ish Gamzu, the Gamzu L'Tova guy? We're going to hear some stories about him. Shaya Suma Mishte Enav. He was blind in two eyes. Gidei Mishte Adav. His hands were cut off. Kitam Mishte Raglav. His legs were cut off. V'cho Gufo Male Shechin. V'hayam Utal. Okay, he was full of boils. V'hayam Utal B'bayet Ra'ua. And he was in a house that was rickety. Okay, again, the rickety, right? We're getting stories all about rickety houses. V'raglei Mitato Munachim B'Sfalin Shamayim. This is kind of gross. The foot of his bed was sitting in cups of water. Kidei shelo ya'alu alav nimalim. Okay, they wanted to make sure the nimalim didn't get to him because he would have nothing to swat them away with. He doesn't have hands or feet. Pam achat hayta mitato munacha bebayit ru'a. Okay, this is weird, this nusach, because we already were told. It's in brackets, right? Brackets means you read it, but anyway, right? Brackets means it wasn't in the nusach, but it should be, but anyway, it's clearly there was a bit of a question about it. Bikshut, I guess they want to just remind you that he was in a bayit ru'ua. Okay? Bikshut hamidav lefanot mitato. They wanted to take his bed out with him on it. V'achar kach lefanot et hakelim. What are they worried? They were worried the house was going to fall on him. So they decided, let's move the bed out and let's take all the stuff out of the house. Amar lehem banai, panu et hakelim v'achar kach panu et mitati. Shemuvtach lachem kozman shani babayit en abayit nofel. Okay?
So they have to do it.
Take out the kelim first. And then take me out. Right, you're right. In the end, so, okay, we'll get to that in a second. But take out all the kelim first and then take me out because I'm going to give, right, once you take me out, the house is going to fall. Well, on the one hand, then leave him in the house. The house will never fall. But on the other hand, it goes back with that en somchim al hanes. Well, it's true that, right, but, you know, maybe somchim al hanes for 1 minute, right? Let's take everything out of the house first and then, or I don't know, 1 minute, right? You guys are in the process of moving. It's not exactly 1 minute to take everything out of the house, although I do imagine they had less stuff than you had in your houses. Okay. So, what does she say? What happens? Obviously, you can guess what's going to happen. Achar kach pinu et hakelim, achar kach pinu et mitato, v'nafal habayit. Amru lo tamidav, Rebbe, me'achar she'tzadik gamur ata, lama ata lecha kach? So I don't understand. You're the tzadik gamur. You kept this house going, but what happened to your body? Like, how did that happen to you? Kach amar lahem. Banai, ani garamti latzmi. I brought it upon myself. Now this goes back, we're going to see, this goes back to this idea of be careful what you pray for, or in other words, sometimes God brings things specifically because you pray for them, even if you're not necessarily deserving of them. Shapam achat hayiti me'alech b'derech lebeit chami. I was on the way to my father-in-law's house. V'haya imi masoi gimel chamorim. Echad shema'acha v'echad shemishteh v'echad shemineh megadim. I had three donkeys full of loads of donkeys. Ma'achal, mishteh, and like extra food stuff. Ba'ani echad v'amad li b'derech v'amar li Rebbe parnaseini. A poor person comes and says, please give me some food. Amar lo hamtein ad shefrok min hachamor. I said, wait a minute, I'll just take everything off the chamor, like in an organized manner. Lo ispati lifrok min hachamor, ad sheyatzta nishmato. Halachti v'nafalti al panav. Okay, so basically, right, by the time he goes, the guy dies. I went, I fell on my face, ba'amarti, eini shelo chasu al einecha. My eyes that didn't have rachamim on your eyes, I didn't see how much you were struggling. Yasumu, should be blinded. Yadai shalochasu al yadecha, yitgadmu. Raglai shalochasu al raglecha, right? My hands that didn't have rachamim on your hands, my feet that didn't have rachamim on your feet should be cut off. Vilonit kararada ati, and it still wasn't enough. I still felt terrible, right? This is all psychological, right? Okay, which is very much similar to the story before about Rabbi Yochanan, his psychological, his conscience bothering him. I wasn't satisfied. I still felt like I didn't do enough. Ad sha'amarti kogu fi yehe male shechin. Amru lo, oi lanu shereinu chabekach. They said, oi, you know, nebuchan you. Amar lahem, oi li im lo ri'ituni bekach. Okay? Oi to me, I never would have survived. In other words, if I hadn't done this to myself, I never would have lived with myself. Okay? I would have felt always like I had killed this person. At least this helps me, right? It's my kapara. Also, there's talk in the Mefarshim about how he wanted to wipe himself clean so that in Olam Haba, his Yisurim would, his sufferings would wipe out the Avera.
Well, also, it's a lesson to the students.
Yes,
both
it's all
about
right.
Getting what you ask for, but also about reaching out to and helping others.
Right, although what's interesting is they didn't know all that all along this story. Only once they asked him did he tell them the story. So he wasn't exactly making a big deal about it and being mepersein to everybody. But yes, it does make an impression on people. And, you know, again, whether these stories are true or not is a different story. I'm sure that, you know, the story is embellished. How much of it is true, I don't even know. So anyway, that's the story. V'amai karalei nachamish gamzu, dechol milta davasal kalei, amar gamzu letova. Right? That anything that would happen to me would say gamzu letova. Here we're going to see another story. Zim nechad abala shidur Yisrael doron lebe kesar. The Jews went to bring a present to the kesar, to the Roman officer. Amru man yezel, who's going to go? Yezel nachamish gamzu. Let's send Nachamish Gamzu Dimaluma Benisim, who he knows Nisim. Shadu Biyade Male Sifted Avanim Tovimu Margaliot. So they sent him a thing full of nice, beautiful rocks. You ever hear this story before?
No.
It's a famous story.
But well, they can't send him. I mean, that's to get a wheelbarrow.
Okay, so first of all, maybe this story happened before. It's unclear. Okay? Or like I said, maybe the story never happened and it's, you know.
Okay.
Azobat, he went and slept. Bahudi Rabalaya. Okay, he slept in this hotel. Kamu Hanach Diurai, the people owning the inn, went up. Shaklinu Lesifte, Umalunuhu Afar. Okay, Umalunuhu Afar. They took his jewels, right, on all the Avanim Tovot, and they switched it for dirt. Lamachar, okay, it doesn't say that, no. Ki Matahatam, when he gets to there, Sharinu Lesifta.
Lamachar.
No, it's here. It's in parentheses. You're not supposed to read that. Kimate hatam. When he gets to the kesar, sharinu l'sifta, chazanu demalu afar. He opens the thing and he sees it's mal afar, the kesar. Baal malka lemiktalinu. He wanted to kill him right there. Lekulu. He wanted lemiktalinu lekulu to all the Jews. He said, "What are these Jews? They bring me presents like this." Amar kamachaychu bi Yehudai. He said, "The Jews are mocking me." Amar gamzu l'tova. Said Gamzu Latova, right? He says this will be for good. Atu Eliyahu, Idmele Kechad Minayim. Eliyahu comes and appears as one of them. Amrele Dilma HaAfra MeAfra DaAvram Avuhanu. I think the safar is from the afar of Avram Avinu. Tiki Avashade Afra Havu Saife Gile Havu Gere. When he threw this afar Havu Saife, it turned into a saif, a cherev. Gile habu gire. When he threw up the straw. When he threw up straw, it would turn into arrows. Dichtiv yitain ka afar herbo. His afar would become a cheref. Ke kash nidaf kashto. And his keshet will be like from kash. Hav yachad medinata de lomatsu lemishkeve lemichbeshe. There was one medina that the kesar just couldn't conquer. But kumine. They tested out this afar to see if it would work. V'kavshua, and it worked. Ailu lebe ginze umalu lesifte avanim tovot umargaliot. So they go into the treasury now of the kesar and they bring him all these avanot tovot. They fill up the suitcase back with these precious jewels. V'shadruhu biyakara rabba, and they send him back biyakara rabba, right? Ki atu beite bahudiyura, when he goes to sleep in the same place, I don't know why he went to the same place, but when he goes to sleep in the same place, Amrule, my atit bahadach da'avdelach, what did you do with the stuff we gave you? Da'avdelach yakara kulehai, that it made you so rich. Amrulehu, my deshachle mehacha amtelahatam, what I took there, I brought back with me. Satru l'dirayu, pamtinu l'be malka. What did they do? They knocked down their inn. They realized that they had done something with the afar. They said, we must have magical dirt here. So they knocked down their inn, they dug up all the dirt, and they brought it to the Kesar. Amrulai, hi afar da'ate hacha mididanhu. Right? The afar that we're bringing is from there, where you got the afar before. But kuhu v'lo eshkuhu. Didn't work. Okay, they tried it out. It didn't work. V'katlinu l'hanach d'yurai. And they killed those guys. Okay. Good stories always end with the bad guy getting killed, right? Okay. Now we're going to move back to the dever that we talked about in the Mishnah. Ezo hi dever, ir ha-motziyah chamesh me'ot ragli. Okay, remember this is when there's 500 people in the city and three people die one day after the other. Tana Rabbanan, ir ha-motziyah chamesh me'ot ve'elef ragli. What if there's 1,500 people, kegon kvar ako, v'yatza himenu tish'a metim b'shlosha yamim ze'achar ze, harei ze dever. Okay, first of all, you see how many people lived in these cities at the time, right? You can see, I forget, but Safrai tries to date when this, oh, he said something very interesting here. He said that this is a braita, okay? The braita is written in the Tannaitic period, but he claims that it couldn't be that these numbers are from the Tannaitic period, that the Amoraim changed the numbers and, you know, edited it or did something to match, or that this version was a version that, you know, they kind of updated because in the time of the Tanaim, the cities were much smaller. Anyway, that's what he claims.
So I don't understand. Are they made to look larger or smaller?
Yeah, in other words, these numbers, he claims, anyway, I don't know the truth about it, but he says that from what we know, he obviously knows more about than I do, from what we know about life in those cities, it couldn't possibly be that in the time of the Tanaim, when this source seems to have been written, because it's a Braita, that there were 1,500 Anashim in Akko. So he claims that it's where sometimes the Amoraim, based on their reality and how they see things, change wording in the Braita to match their reality. So a few generations later, less. They have fewer. Yeah. There are fewer than 1,500 people in Akko. Again, you're talking about men, soldier age, right? Of yeah. Okay. And in a city like that, if there were 9 Meitim b'shlosha yamim, ze'achar ze harei ze dever. Okay? B'yom echad, what if they all died in one day? Or in more than 3 days, or b'dalad yamim, ein ze dever. That's not dever. Okay, so 3 people die in one day. I was actually thinking about this in terms of these 3 boys, right? 3 people die in one day, that's a fluke. That's not an epidemic. But if they die one day after the other, that's considered an epidemic. We're going to see a different opinion about it after. V'ir ha-motziyah ha-mesh me'ot ragli kegon kfar amiko, v'yatsumi mena shlosha metim b'shlosha yamim ze'achar ze'ach, harei ze'dever. V'yom echad o ba'arba'a yamim en ze'dever. So they just bring a comparison between numbers in one city and numbers in the other city. Drokrat, ir ha-motziyah ha-mesh me'ot ragli, hava. Okay, Drokrat was a city. It's where Rav Huna was from. We'll see 2 people that were from there today. There were 500 people, v'yatsumi mena shlosha metim b'yom echad. Okay, there were 3 people who died in one day. And Gazer Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista Tanit, also Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista lived there, and he made a Tanit. Even though, against the Braita, right? The Braita said if they all die in one day, we don't make a Tanit. He made a Tanit. I'm Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Kiman. Like, who are you going like? Ki Rabbi Meir. I'm saying like Rabbi, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says to him, Kiman, Ki Rabbi Meir. You must be going like Rabbi Meir. What did Rabbi Meir say? Now, Rabbi Meir didn't talk about our issue. Rabbi Meir talked about a short time and a short mu'ad. Short time is a shor, if you own an ox, that gores somebody once. You only pay for the first time and the second time and the third time. You pay chatzi nezek, half the damages, because you didn't know that your shor was a wild animal. But once your shor does it 3 times, it's proven that he's a wild shor and can damage, and therefore you have to be 100% responsible for him, and you pay full damages. So now the question is, what does it mean 3 times? 3 times in one day, 3 times in 3 days. Okay, it's very similar to this issue. What did Rabbi Meir say? Richeg negichotav. If he did them one after the other, or one and then another a month later and another a month later, right? They were distance. Chayav. So kireg negichotav lo kol shekein. If he did it with more frequency, all the more so he's a wild ox and you have to pay full damages. Now, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree. Rabbi Yehuda, you could say Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if he does it all in one day, maybe he was just having a bad day. But it's not indicative of the way he behaved in general. What?
So were the people he called.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So now, He says you must be, right? If the magefa kills 3 people in 3 days, and all the more, if it kills 3 people in 1 day, all the more serious it is. Okay, so therefore, definitely call a fast in that case. So he says you must be going like him. Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Pistol of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Now we're getting off the topic, but it's a conversation between the two of them, the same two. He says to him, Leikum Mar Leite Lekabam, why don't you come live near us? Because we have a better city. We're a city full of Talmidei Chachamim. You're living in a city without Talmidei Chachamim. Amarle says to him very interestingly, Tanina, it says in Ebraita, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Mekomo Shel Adam Mechabdo, Ela Adam Mechabed Et Mekomo. It's not the place that makes the man, it's the man that makes the place. Okay? And what does he say? Shekei Matzinu, what's my proof? Bahar Sinai, Shekol Zman Shashchina Shchul Ya'ala, Amra Torah, Gam Atzom Vabakar Al Yeru Amul Harahu. When the Shekhinah was on Har Sinai, it said the Tzon and the Bakar can't come up the mountain because it's Kadosh. Nistalka Shekhinah Mimenu, Amra Torah, Bimshocha Yovel Hema Yalu Bahar. Okay, at that point, they can go up to the mountain. Bechei Matzinu Ba'ol Moed Shebamidbar, Shekol Zman Shehu Natoy, while the Ol Moed was up, Amra Torah, Yishachu Min HaMachaneh Kol Tzarua, Bechol Zav, right? They have to go out of the city because they're Tzme'im. Hu Glalua Parochet, as soon as they open the parochet, right, and they start moving the Mishkan, Hutruz Avinu Mitzara'im Likaneshan. As soon as, right, the Shekhinah was no longer there. And so there's this concept, it's a very interesting concept, right? Things aren't based on the location, right? They're based on who the person is and what the situation is. And there's no, it's almost, right, we talk about Kedushat Makom, but Kedushat Makom is not permanent. Okay, even though it's interesting, with the Mishkan, they say it's not permanent. With the Beit HaMikdash, we still treat with the Kodesh and Kodeshim with Kedushat. That's all the halachot as we know from when we went there about treating it with Kedushat. But that could be maybe the one exception. Or maybe there's different opinions also about that, whether you really need to or not. I don't know. Okay. Amar Lei. So now the conversation continues. He said, why don't you come live with us? So now he says, Amar Lei, Ihachi, Nekom Ana, Lagabe Mar, fine, so I'll go live with you if that's the case. I don't need to be then in the city, and I'd rather be living near you. Amar Lei, no, don't come live near me. Why? Mutav Yavo Mane Ben Pras, Etzel Mane Ben Mane. Val Yavo Mane Ben Mane, Etzel Mane Ben Pras. Okay, Pras is half. Mane is a portion of money. Saying, the guy who's worth money, who's the son of a guy who's only half the person he was, right, should be the one who goes to the Mane, the son of a Mane. Okay, what's he saying? Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, his father was a big Talmid Chacham. But Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what do you see? It's not Bar Rav Yitzchak, it's Bar Yitzchak. His father wasn't a big Talmid Chacham. So he's saying, you have more zchuyot than me because your father was a big Talmid Chacham, and therefore you shouldn't be coming to me, I should be coming to you. But what's interesting is, right, he's saying, don't come to me because it's not mechubad for you to come to me. On the other hand, I'm not coming to you because I don't want to leave my house, and, you know. So in the end, he doesn't come, but he also says, don't you come to me. Okay, Besura dehavat varta b'shibivute derav. There was a makad dever, an epidemic, in Sura, okay, which is the place, sorry, I didn't read it right. Besura havat varta, in Sura there was dever, but which is the place where Rav lived, but b'shibivute derav in his community, his little shchuna, lo havat varta, there wasn't dever, okay? Now, what do you assume? Right? The dever came to the whole city, but not to the little area where he lived. Why? Probably because of the schut of Rav. That's what everybody thought. Savru minei mishum schutei de Rav de nafish. Right? Rav has a lot of schuyot. Itchazi lehu b'chalma. It was appeared to them in a dream. All the people who thought that it was the schut of Rav that was doing it saw in a dream Rav de nafishe schutei tuva hamilta zutra lele Rav. Okay, they saw in a dream that Rav, his schuyot are too much for this kind of thing. This is like too small for Rav. Okay? It's not the kind of thing that he would use his schuyot for. Okay, you can look at this in two ways. Number one, it's like beneath him to use his schuyot to save this makav dever. I don't know why they say it's not so serious. Dever's pretty serious if people are dying. But number two, it's saying also that he had a lot of schuyot. Remember we talked about if you use up katonti mikol hasadim, right? Chaval for Rav to use up his schuyot. Like, Rav has such great schuyot, he didn't want, they weren't the ones that we used up on this. I'll give you also a different reason why I think at the end. Ela mishum ha'hu gavra, deshaya maro uzvile lekvura. What was the reason they were saved? Because there was a guy in the town who would be shoel, he would, mash'il, he would lend out his hoe and his shovel for digging up the graves. So when someone died, he would lend them the kelim for digging up the graves. What do you see here also? We're going to see in the next story also the same thing. Midah keneged midah, because he lent out his shovel for graves, they didn't have to bury more people. Okay? What I think they're trying to show here is not so much so the issue of Rav and his chuyot, but they're trying to show how important each individual is. And it's the guy who did the small thing of just lending out, right? How hard is it to lend out something? It's not so complicated. They're trying to teach the people that it's your actions that matter. Don't count on the gadol, right? You think it's the gadol, and because of him, you're going to be okay, and therefore you do whatever you want, because you think he's going to save us. But really, it's all about the individual, and little things that people can do can make a big impact. And I think that's what these stories are coming to say. Okay, we're going to have another very similar story. Bidukrat, which is the city of Rav Huna, Havetzleika, there was a fire. Ubishavivute de Rav Huna, lo Havetzleika, the fire didn't come to his town. Savor mine, Bishute de Rav Huna, de Nafish, they thought, right, it was because of him. Itchazile Bachilma, Hai Zutrale de Rav Huna, this is too small for Rav Huna. Ela Mishuma, he itita, it was because of this woman, de Mechamemet Tanura, she would warm up her, she would light up her oven, right, again, the fire, right, Midah Keneged Midah. And she would lend out her oven to all the people who didn't have ovens. So again, the fire that she lit up her oven with saved the fire from the city. Amrulei the Rabbi Yehuda, Atukamtze, this Arbe is coming to our city. Gazar ta'anita, he made a ta'anit. Amrulei, loka mifsadan. But why'd you make a ta'anit? They weren't mafsid anything, they didn't eat our food. Okay, they didn't do anything. They're just coming, but they haven't eaten our food. Amule, zavda aitu badayu. What, they're bringing tzedah? I was thinking the word mizvada must come from here. Right, a mizvada, you bring your stuff with you, right? Did they bring tziud with them? Did they bring stuff with them, food? Like, what do you think they're going to eat once they get here? Okay, obviously they haven't eaten it yet. Right, and this is a good example of, even when something hasn't happened yet, but right, there's something that happened that's tangible. They've come. They haven't yet destroyed anything, but before they destroy, let's eat. Let's do the fast. Because also, once they eat it, there's no getting it back. Amrulei the Rav Yehuda. Okay, now we continue with Rav Yehuda, some stories about him. They said to Rav Yehuda, Ika motna b'chazire. There's a plague among the pigs. Now obviously, it's not the pigs of the Jews, because they don't have pigs. Gazar ta'anita, he made a fast anyway. Nema kasava Rav, maybe Rav Yehuda thought, Nema kasava Rav Yehuda, matam mishulechet, mimin echa mishulechet mikol aminim. Maybe he thinks that because it's in the chazirim, it's going to go to the other animals, and from there get to our animals. They say, lo, that's not the reason. Shani chazire, it's specifically chazirim, not any other animal, but specifically the chazirim. Didamya me'ayu lebnei inche. Their intestines are like human intestines, and because of that, it's not a danger for the other animals, it's a danger for people. I was thinking of the swine flu, right? That went around to humans also. And that, you know, there's things among the pigs that can get to the people. Amalei the Shmuel, ikamutne bechozai. There's a dead bear, there's a plague in Bechozai, in the city of Bechozai. Gazar ta'anita, he made a ta'anit. Amalei, v'hamarachek, it's far from here, why are you making a ta'anit here? Amar, lekamavra. There's no nahar, there's no break between us and them. In other words, it's all land connected. Anything that's land connected means that it can get to us. Amrulei the Rav Nachman, ikamot nebarat Yisrael. There's a plague in Eretz Yisrael. Gazar ta'anita, he made a ta'anit. Amar, im. Now what's the reason? Here, clearly there was water in between, and how could it get there? What did he say? Im gvira loka, shipcha lo kol shekein. Okay? If, right, the special one, right, the woman in charge, then obviously the shipcha, like we in Babel are considered a shipcha to Eretz Israel. So if they're getting attacked, right, here it's not a physical, it's a metaphysical, right? So then they say, if that's the case, tama digvira v'shipcha, ha shipcha v'shipcha lo, v'hamrulei l'shmuel, ikamone bechozai, gazar ta'anita. Then if that's the case, then it would only work according to what he's saying, if it's that level, right? A higher level than a lower level. But why in Bechozai did he make a gzerah? So what do they say? In other words, there's two reasons. Number one, there's a reason metaphysically. If they're greater and we're lower, then if they got attacked, we're going to get attacked. But here, it's also if there's shayarot that go from one place to the other, caravans that bring people back and forth, then it can actually be spread. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here and we'll start up here tomorrow. Okay.